Everybody, welcome to tonight's edition of the Malloy Program. How you doing? Did you have a good weekend? As I hinted at in my itsy bitsy mini blog today, we went to Piedmont Park in Atlanta on Sunday. Piedmont Park is the equivalent of Central Park in New York City, matter of fact, designed by the same person. And it's a beautiful day here. Kathy and Molly and I went. We decided to have a picnic in the park. When's the last time you went on a picnic? Huh? You still do that? We do it every once in a while. We like to do it. Just take Molly's wagon and put a cooler in it and make some sandwiches and some hummus and some baba ganoush or whatever and head for the park. It's a lot of fun. So yesterday we got there about 1 o'clock and drum circle was starting to form. There's some really talented drummers that hang out at Piedmont Park in Atlanta, just like there are at Washington Square Park in New York City. It used to be some pretty good groups that would get together around Columbus Circle, too, and, of course, on the West Coast, all over the place. But so we got into this drum circle. I took I've got a little Cuban drum that I decided to give to Molly, and I have an African drum. And we got there, and there were about 8 or 10 drummers and some percussionists. And it was kind of rocking, you know how that goes. Boom, 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 and Molly loved it. She immediately got right in the middle of the circle, and there were a couple of belly dancers there, not in complete costume, but you know, just with like tights on and practicing with their veils and so on and so forth. But it was a lot of fun, and Molly sat in the middle of that thing and just. Tried to pick up on the rhythms that she picked up on going around her. I love to watch. I don't care whose kid it is. Finally, another little girl came in the middle of the circle and sat down next to Molly. And the other little kid had a tambourine. It was just really nice. Really nice. Nice day. Good day. So that was the high point of our weekend. The rest of it was the usual stuff you do on the weekend, you know. A volcano in southern Alaska erupted again today. That's the fifth eruption since last night, Sunday night. So that makes a total of 5 what they call explosive events recorded at Mount Redoubt. The eruptions have sent ash columns some 60,000 feet into the air. Several communities west of Anchorage reported falling ash. And U.S. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar said today that a dark and cloudy environment was noted near Cook Inlet, Alaska. Agencies including the Federal Aviation Administration, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, U.S. Geological Survey, were monitoring the situation. Now, the CNN report goes on to list all sorts of warnings to people in that part of Alaska and what to do. How to handle this kind of a situation what to watch out for. And all of this is very interesting in light of what happened after Barack Obama gave his address to Congress a couple of weeks ago. Remember that? And the answer was Piyush Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, had a response. And Piyush insisted that in that rebuttal, non-State of the Union rebuttal, he insisted that instead of spending $140 million in the Obama budget, and he put it this way, for something called volcano monitoring, Congress, he said, should be monitoring the eruption of spending in Washington. Really? So now all of a sudden it appears that the volcano monitoring, which is critical in various parts of the United States, maybe not in Missouri, although you never know, maybe certainly not in Louisiana. But here's a classic example of Republican politicians who don't know what the hell they're talking about. They make these kinds of flip statements. Well, you know, $140 million for something called volcano monitoring. Well, Congress should be monitoring the eruption of spending in Washington, not this nonsense. Right? Republicans always get it wrong. It doesn't make any difference what it is they get it wrong. Mainly because they are ignorant, especially the politicians. Now, what Piyush might be interested in doing is casting out the volcano demons that surely lurk beneath, just beneath the surface of Mount Redoubt, the volcano that is blowing its top. Because, you know, to understand the workings of a volcano, one has to accept the fact that the Earth is millions upon millions upon millions of years old. And, you know, lava and molten rock and stuff and fault lines and cracking, you know, not something that happened 6,000 years ago right after Noah got his family off the ark, Piyush. So Piyush doesn't get that. He's an evangelical, isn't he? He believes in exorcising demons. So to Piyush, maybe the thing that Piyush Jindal ought to do is hop aboard the next airplane that is going to Anchorage and conduct an exorcism. He did it in college, didn't he? Did he do an exorcism? I think he did. So tell you what, Piyush, head on up there and, you know, go into that whole Vulgate Latin stuff and see if you can exorcise what is obviously a demon roiling around beneath the surface of Alaska. Don't you think? Huh? The U.S. Geological Survey, which will receive the stimulus money for volcano monitoring, the $140 million that Piyush said, something called volcano monitoring. Congress should be monitoring the eruption of spending in Washington. Ha ha! Isn't that stupid? The U.S. Geological Survey, which will get that money for volcano monitoring, has been keeping track of several active volcanoes across the Pacific Northwest, Hawaii, and, of course, Alaska. So, Piyush, you see, maybe that $140 million, it doesn't affect you. You've got hurricanes to worry about. I don't know what you're going to do. Maybe pray the next hurricane away. Didn't Pat Robertson do that one time? He prayed a hurricane away from Virginia Beach, which is where he has his little nest of weird people. So it's just stunning, isn't it? The U.S. Geological Survey's efforts seem to pay off where it concerned these six eruptions. As early as February 6th, what is it, 2 weeks ago? Almost three? Residents of cities near Mount Redoubt were preparing for a volcano eruption because of information gleaned from early monitoring systems. The very systems that Piyush says, $140 million for something called volcano monitoring. Congress should be monitoring the eruption of spending in Washington. Many Alaskans took issue with Piyush's comments, The Anchorage Daily News reported, of course Alaskans want to know if a volcano is going to blow. A call to Governor Paiyush Jindal's office for comment was not returned.
To Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Rastaman writes in, the typical Hindu exorcism practices. Rastaman writes, many Eastern religions, spirits and ghosts are blamed for many ills and are cast out of people. However, such afflictions are not regarded as all-out battles for the person's soul. I guess that's in reference to what the Christians believe. The typical Hindu exorcism practices consists of, now I'm going to believe you here, Rastaman, consists of blowing cow dung smoke, pressing rock salt between the fingers, burning pig excreta, beating or pulling the victim's hair, reciting prayers or mantras, and offering gifts of candy and other presents to get the evil or troublesome spirits to depart from the person or persons. Well, that sounds like it would be a fun afternoon. I just don't know how they do that with a volcano, but I'm sure Paiyush would know because he has done this sort of thing in the past. Michelle Bachmann, is there anyone in the U.S. Congress crazier than this woman from Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann, Representative Michelle Bachmann? She's getting further and further and further towards the edge. Right. During an interview day before yesterday with WWTC in Minneapolis, Michelle Bachmann slammed Barack Obama's cap and trade plan, the one to try to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And she said it would have, quote, the impact of forever changing our country, end quote. Oh, that's a bad thing, right? Freakoid. She was particularly incensed that the bill was meant to address global warming, which she flatly denies is a human-caused problem. She said in this interview, quote, and actually we want this debate because the science is on our side on this one, and the science indicates that human activity is not the cause of all this global warming, and that in fact nature is the cause with solar flares and stuff. Now, instead of merely opposing the legislation, which a psycho woman certainly has a right to do, Bachmann went on and compared Washington, D.C. to, her words, enemy lines, and urged her supporters to become, her words, armed and dangerous, and to fight, her words, a revolution against cap and trade legislation. What the hell? Fight a revolution, Michelle, against something that will make your goddamn lungs easier to work? What is wrong with you? Why not fight a revolution against Bush when he destroyed the Constitution? Oh, never mind. Anyway, here's what she said, quote, and really now in Washington, I'm a foreign correspondent in enemy lines. What? And I try to keep everyone back here in Minnesota know exactly the nefarious activities that are taking place in Washington. I want people in Minnesota armed and dangerous on this issue of the energy tax because we need to fight back. Thomas Jefferson told us having a revolution every now and then is a good thing. And the people, we the people, are going to have to fight back hard if we're not going to lose our country. And I think this has the potential of changing the dynamic of freedom forever in the United States. Oh, my God. who I don't know what her district is, but if you live in her district and you can hear this program, why just a straight ahead question. Why have you elected a psychopath to go to Washington to represent you? Are all of you psychopaths in her district? The ones that voted for her? Are you all nuts and crazy and do you just sit around like a bunch of bobbleheads and go blah, 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 while this freak represents you? What is wrong with you people? Now, this is the same nutcase who when was it? Last fall? She said she was absolutely concerned that Barack Obama, who's in a candidate, quote, may have anti-American views. May have anti-American views. And she called for a McCarthy-like investigation into anti-American elements in Congress. Now, I got an email from Dee in Dallas who writes in, when is the media going to start calling out these people for remarks like this? The way they called out President Obama over his recent remarks about bowling and the Special Olympics. I don't care, Dee writes, if she wrapped these comments in reference to Obama's tax plan. It has been proven in the past that there are some disturbed people out there who take these kinds of comments literally. This kind of rhetoric in these troubled times can be very dangerous, and the people who make such comments should be front page news. Dee in Dallas. Yeah, I don't know, Dee. You know, Michelle Obama is just out of her mind. I mean, it's clear she's another one of these religious nutballs like Piyush Jindal, you know, and I just wonder why Michelle doesn't go and do it. She and Piyush can get together in D.C. I don't know, encircle the House of Representatives with holy smoke or something, and you know, cast out demons. But you know, to talk about armed revolution because there's a legislation pending that will make it easier for this crazy woman to breathe. That's a clear example of craziness.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Ron says, I said Michelle Obama, and I meant Michelle Bachmann, of course, during that last little segment. Michelle Bachmann is just nuts. It never fails to amaze me how endless is the supply of absolute geekoids who wind up in the Republican Party, elected to office. Of course you're going to get geekoids in the Republican Party or the Limbaugh Party. That's their nesting place. That's their breeding ground. But to get elected, like, unbelievable, right? Drew in Madison writes in, Mike, love your show. I'm sorry, but Obama's turning into what I feared he always basically was, a Clintonite who throws virtually everything to the financial class. His multiple bailout schemes are nothing more than subsidies to the giant banksters. It's sad to see a guy who seems decent reveal his true colors. What's scary about Obama is that he knows how to effectively use populist rhetoric and grandstanding to get to power, and then behind the curtain he cuts deals with the money bags. All the 20-somethings and 30-somethings who were his base in the 2008 election are going to turn awfully cynical. Obama's losing big-time political capital right now to the American people. The longer he dickers around with placating the big financial behemoths, the more the American people are going to turn against him. I'm afraid Obama's habit of sucking up to the banksters is going to make him a one-term president. I decided I would give Obama a chance, and I refrained from criticizing him because I really did want him to succeed and not be a Wall Street sellout. Time's up. Obama has now been exposed. As scary as it seems, the false populism of a Mike Huckabee could ascend to the presidency in 2012. Unfortunately, it's too late to vote for Nader or Kucinich, two truly progressive heroes who the media blackball and almost totally ignore. Sincerely, Drew in Madison. I don't know. That's a pretty acute description of Barack Obama. If that's your take on him, okay. You know, you may be right. You may be right. I just don't think, though, that somebody who came the route that Barack Obama came, and I'm talking about going all the way back to the beginning, to the presidency, is someone who would be that much of a shill. I don't think he's an insider, is he? I mean, only the inside people. Now, I realize he's hired some insiders that people like Paul Krugman, New York Times, are starting to say, wait a minute, you're going about this all wrong. And that may be the case, but Barack Obama himself, is he that much of an insider? If nothing else, just by virtue of his race. Come on, this is the United States of America. I mean, by virtue of his racial makeup. His race is the same as yours and mine. It's just that he's got a little more pronounced genetic this and that over on this and that than you do or I do, right? You know how that goes in this country. You know how sick we are. But because of the visible aspects of his racial makeup, he would not be included, and his youth, in that circle, and his intellect, in that circle of people who are out to eat America alive and have a good time doing it. And the rest of us, we don't get the bones. We are the bones. But I don't know. You may be right, Drew. We'll see. Prairie 2 writes, under the heading of Everybody is Afraid to Have a Sandwich. Okay. The stock market was up 7% today, with the prospect that there will be an end to the banking gridlock by allowing banks to rid themselves of the mortgage-based securities they've been holding. These toxic assets were the brainchild of Alan Greenspan, who claimed they were just an instrument to spread risk. In reality, it was like mixing some jars of bad peanut butter into every case. The risk is spread around, but everybody is afraid to have a sandwich. Obama's solution is to bring in private investors who will be required to put up enough of their own money so that they have an incentive to do a good job unwinding the mess. They will make big profits, but only if they do their job. Otherwise, they lose. There are big potential costs for the taxpayer, but if it's done quickly, this could be minimized, at least compared with doing nothing. The big potential payoff for the economy is that this will stop the cascade of credit derivative failures, and it should fix this particular problem. The thing is that this is not the cause of the mess we're in. This was just another of Greenspan's bubbles designed to inflate the economy in order to hide the collapse. It's still collapsing and picking up speed. Obama will need to roll out real reforms to fix the economy, or the next crisis will be far worse. Massive job losses, coupled with a push to depress wages, the outsourcing of labor that only exacerbates the crushing trade deficit, the looming collapse of the commercial real estate market, followed by the certainty of huge insurance company failures, the collapse of foreign investments made by U.S. companies, causing the collapse of the stock market, and on and on and on. The FDR-style reforms that are needed to fix these things are what make the veins stand out on the heads of fat cat Republicans, and they will not go quietly, at least not until they are pursued by a mob with torches and pitchforks. Yes, we can. From Prairie 2. Now, he signs off here with what looks like a website email or a website address. I have not been there. Prairie 2, the numeral 2, prairie2.com. I don't know what you find, but go check out. See if y'all can crash his site. Prairie2.com. We were not talking, but we were emailing last week, he and I, about you know, why don't you have a website so you can get this out? Oh, there you go. Prairie 2 News. There's his blogs. Okay, now, whenever you hear me do one of Prairie 2's letters to the Molloy program, you can go to prairie2.com. Prairie and the numeral 2.com. And you can answer him. You know, I get a lot of people who write in here and say, well, I think he's crazy. No, that's it. I'm on. Okay, now you can do it. Go to prairie2.com. Prairie2.com. And he's got a website now. So you can write directly to him. That way you don't have to write to me and say, would you pass this on to Prairie 2? Which I sometimes do, except for the ones with the bad words in it. And I usually don't pass those on. But there you have it. Prairie2.com. What else we got here? This stuff stacks up over the weekend, you know. I don't even look. I'm not one of these people who works on the weekend. I just don't do it. And Friday night, I'll have maybe 300 emails that I haven't disposed of sitting in my email file. And by Monday morning, when I open everything up, there's 900 in there. And I don't know what the hell to do. I try my best, but normally I just start hitting the delete button. I'm sorry. The worst time to write to me, True Seeker, is over the weekend, because I swear it's not going to be read. Chances are it's not going to be read. It'll just be deleted. Well, you know, that's just the way it goes here. If you really want to get the attention of me or Kathy in this program, do it during the week, right? But Roz sent this in, I think, over the weekend. Roz in Canada, she writes, Mike, not sure if you saw how Fox News showed their ignorance once again. And then she sends me an email, Addie, a piece written, a video, which is captured on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and see it. It's called How to Lose Friends and Alienate Countries. That's the title of it, How to Lose Friends and Alienate Countries. And what it was, I went to see it. She said this is all over the Canadian news this morning, people writing in outrage to how these people on Fox News broadcast their ignorance all day long. One person wrote in and said it's ironic that the most intelligent voice on Fox belongs to Homer Simpson. You should look at the video. You will quickly see why so many people are pissed off at these jerks. By the way, Canadians just received the dead bodies of 4 of our soldiers returned from Afghanistan. How sad for the families of these soldiers to have to put up with this kind of crap. And what Roz is referring to is you can check it out. It's at YouTube. How to Lose Friends and Alienate Countries. I don't know who these people are. I don't watch Fox ever, ever, not under any circumstances. Once in a while, maybe on Sunday, I'll go watch Chris Wallace pretend to be his dad on Fox News. But there's no point to go there. It's just poisonous. It's toxic. It's a toxic waste dump. The only people who watch Fox News are crazy people and uneducated people. So don't, Raj, you got to stop. But I looked at the YouTube video, and a bunch of these cretins are sitting around on Fox News busting Canada because the Canadians are starting to reassess what their commitment is in Afghanistan, and the nasty comments made by these people on Fox News against Canadians, the Canadian military. I mean, they're really ugly comments. I don't know, man. It's just, it's weird. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your skies. Welcome to the new.
Cleaning up America one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
Yes, it is. 10 before the hour. A couple of emails here. Paul writes in, Mike, we have some property in Michelle Bachman's district. I seriously considered taking up legal residence there so I could cast a vote against her. She's crazed. In other ways, she denies the existence of her lesbian half-sister. She does the Octomom better by a mile. She had something like 24 foster children and 5 of her own. She's a tax lawyer by training, so I think the foster children were corralled for the purposes of tax write-offs. I'm sure that at least one in her litter of Fundy offspring has gone insane or become an axe murderer. Homeschooling will do that to you. Okay. Thanks, Paul. I'm trusting you that that's true, right? And Kathy in Green Bay, I don't think Obama's an insider, but I wonder why all the Reubenites are running his economic policy. Mostly I wonder if the Clintonites aren't trying to burnish Clinton's legacy, bringing his economic policies in the present situation. Here's some news for them. No one thinks that this economy is the same as Bill Clinton's economy, and the old policies won't work. I read Krugman and Robert Reich and Joe Stiglitz and sometimes Nouriel Roubini, really, really, really bright people with lots of professional recognition and incredible track records. They don't seem to think that we're on the right track. And while I think that Obama's incredibly bright, I absolutely can't explain his choice of advisors. I'm giving him a chance, though, but I don't have a great deal of faith that what he's doing now will work. As for Geithner, I don't wish him ill, but I wish he was looking for another position. Kathy in Green Bay. I'm not sure sometimes how to take all this. You know, okay, so the stock market went up 500 points today. I don't think that really means anything. I've said before that the stock market is not an indicator of pretty much anything in this economy other than the gamblers are out gambling. I mean, come on, that's pretty much it. But in reading the business section of the New York Times, which I've become more or less addicted to, sort of like Limbaugh and OxyContin, although I don't think the business section of the New York Times would make me deaf, I keep reading about, like today I read that there are now trade barriers, very quietly trade barriers are going up all around the earth, which I guess is bad. But on the other hand, you know, open free trade has turned out to be ungood, double plus ungood, hasn't it? So I don't know anymore. The last time there was one of these World Trade WTO meetings, was it WTO or Group of 20 or whatever the hell it was, Bush hosted it, didn't he? And he was pushing and pleading and begging everyone else who attended not to set up trade barriers, protectionist ideas coming back. And, of course, from what I read in the Times today, that before the ink was dry on his plea, it wasn't his plea, it was somebody else's, but before the ink was dry, the trade restrictions were going up. If we get into an all-out trade war, of course, the United States is going to lose. Until we finally get a grip on this horrific globalization that has devoured so many jobs, so many livelihoods, so many lives, and not just here, but, you know, and I hear a lot of people talk about, well, people more educated than I, where it concerns economic issues, saying, look, globalization has been a wonderful thing for the working poor, poor people in these emerging economies, what we used to call, until somebody said that's kind of arrogant, third world nations. You know, so you set up a sweatshop in, you know, you pick an American company and you close your 40 plants in America and you open 20 in India or China or Vietnam now, for God's sake, or the Philippines. All of a sudden the people who did not have jobs, who are living on huge urban garbage dumps, now all of a sudden they have a job. So, you know, the globalists offer that as one of the rationales for globalization. Hey, it's wonderful. It pulls people up out of poverty. But what's happening back home here? It's plunging people into poverty unless it's time to reevaluate the entire system in this country. What constitutes a good living? You know, I mean, there's that issue, too. Owning two houses or three vehicles or four or five and spending the way Americans have been spending for the past 30 years, is that logical? Is it rational? Does it make any sense? Why do three people need a 15,000 square feet of living space? You know, five bedrooms and six baths. Is that so? You know, you've got an argument this way and an argument that way. All I know is this: I grew up pretty much in a lower working class neighborhood. Certainly a lower working class family until there wasn't any job for my lower working class parents to take except waitress jobs. And, I've been there. I've seen how it works. I've seen how, the idea of acquisitions, possessions, materialism, how it works, what it does to people, what it does to your heart, your soul, your children, your grandchildren. Here's all this stuff. Here's all this stuff. Yeah, but where's mommy? Where's daddy? Now, when I was a kid, only daddy had to go to work. So we had a whole generation grow up with no fathers, absolutely no fathers at all, because they were gone. They were working all the time. Now we have a generation grew up with no fathers and no mothers because they've both been working all the time, thanks to globalization, thanks to wage depression and suppression, thanks to the anti-union movement, thanks. Where does it stop? You know, when do you get a chance, you and I, when do we get a chance to catch our breath and look around saying, wait, let's change this, let's move that over here, let's move this over here, put tab A into slot B, and then I'll push the on button, click, and everything hums along. Now, when do we get a chance to do that again? I don't know. All right, stick around. Top of the hour break, we'll be back, and I want to talk to you about what they want to do in Texas now. Oh. My God. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. There is a, this is the Malloy program, there is a bill in the Texas legislature that would allow creationists to grant Masters of Science degrees. Texas State Representative Leo Berman has proposed House Bill 2800, which would exempt any private nonprofit institution that requires students to complete, quote, substantive coursework, end quote, from having to acquire a certificate of authority from the Texas Higher Education Coordination Board. Mr. Berman says if you don't take any federal funds, if you don't take any state funds, you can do a lot more than some business that does take state funding or federal funding. Why should you be regulated if you don't take any state or federal funding? End quote. That's what this man says. Well, critics argue because creationism isn't science. Mr. Berman admits that his inspiration for the bill was the something called the Institute for Creation Research Graduate School. It is something called a Young Earth Creationism Institution. You know, that's one that believes the Earth is, what, 6,000, maybe 7,000 years old. It has been trying to achieve certification in Texas for 2 years. They want to be certified. Young Earth Creationism, which is much more popular than the recent Intelligent Design Creationism, is essentially a literal reading and acceptance of the Bible. Earth is less than 10,000 years old. Noah's flood occurred. Adam and Eve were real people. And the Intelligent Design Creationism people insist that they teach more than just biblical creationism, which is based only on the word of the Bible. They also have incorporated tenets of scientific creationism into their bylaws.
Okay, class. All right, everyone open up your bag of snakes. Now pick one up. Make it talk. Come on. Make it. Do you have your ruler? It's a snake with a ruler. Make it talk.
I can tell you're not taking this as seriously as...
I'm going to go see Dr. Richard Dawkins next month. I can't wait. I cannot wait to get his... As soon as he signs his book, The Blind Watchmaker, for me, I'm going to ask him about this.
Okay. This is a research branch of the Christian Heritage College in San Diego. And the ICRGS, what is that? ICRGS. What the hell is that? I just said it. I guess it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean, this is insane stuff, isn't it? Degree-granting colleges and universities in Texas currently must be issued a certificate authority by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. If this House bill is passed into law, only state-funded colleges and universities would have to report to the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. Everyone else would be free to design their curriculum without any regulation. Ooh, that'd be a good place to go set up a, quote, university, end quote. Wouldn't it, Kathy? We could offer, I don't know, we could offer a degree in Spanish. Here's how you say hello in Spanish. Bula. Here's how you say goodbye in Spanish. Bula. Here's how you say, how much are those pork chops in Spanish? Blah. You see, I mean, without certification, it's that simple. And then we could charge for a degree to everyone who learned how to say blah. And then we would tell them, go and sin no more. You now know how to speak Spanish. Blah. Oh, my God. It's pretty incredible. Why do people do this? Why? How do they get inspired to say, look, I'm going to ignore, and I realize this is, you don't have to answer this. I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to ignore geology, biology, molecular biology. Give me some more hard sciences, Kathy.
Chemistry.
Physics.
Biochemistry.
I'm going to ignore
geology.
All of this stuff and say, nope, all of that is wrong.
Astronomy.
The Earth was put together 7,000 years ago by a person or a creature or a thing that said, now I'm going to put a talking snake down here. Man. Well, good luck, folks in Texas. Texas has got to be just a weird place. I always thought Georgia was weird. It's fairly easy here in Georgia to identify ignoramuses. Most of them, as soon as they open their mouth, you can tell. But also, they walk funny here in Georgia, and they dress funny. And most of them, if you go back just a few degrees in the family tree, you find no more branches. You know, but Texas, I thought Texas because of its cosmopolitan nature. What? Yeah, well, it's close to Latin America, and I just figured, well, they can't be as crazy as here. But I've come to realize over the past 8 or 10 years that Texans are, for the most part, are crazier than any. It's a collection of crazy people unlike any other in the Union, pretty much. And now Chuck Norris wants to, you know, break Texas away again. And he would become dictator of Texas and set up his little militias, I guess, at all the little border crossings from the rest of the contiguous 48 and Mexico. Of course, Chuck Norris would be the type of ride into Mexico, just like some crazed American cavalryman and try to recapture Mexico City. Only what Chuck doesn't understand is Texas used to belong to Mexico. You got to just ask backwards, Chuck. Jesus God, why don't you learn Spanish and declare yourself the emperor of Texas? That would might work, you know, and just say you are here to take the place of Santa Anna or who else was it? Maximilian? Who was the French emperor of Mexico for a while? Who was that? Why am I looking at you, right? Okay.
Chemistry?
Okay, never mind. Okay. I don't know.
Anatomy and physiology?
I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes last night. Barack Obama punched back at this thug Dick Cheney. It's about time. I'm hoping that regardless of what Obama does, if he saves global capitalism, if he saves America, if he turns out to be the Black Knight on the white horse, you know, he can't be a white knight for obvious reasons, but if he turns out to be the Black Knight on the white horse, you know, bless his heart. You know, go for it, Barack Obama. But if nothing else happens, at least I think he's coming to realize that Limbaughs, former Republicans, are swine, scum, and bastards, and they have to be treated as such. You can't treat a so-called Republican, the Limbaughs, with anything even in the same county as respect. You can't. They understand one thing, abuse. That's all. That's all Republicans understand, especially the men, is abuse. You kick them. You hit them. You stomp on their feet. You try to close their fingers in the car door. You do anything you can to cause them pain and anguish because that's how they react. You know, Limbaugh figured this out 20 years ago and has been beating the Christ out of these people for 20 years. And they keep coming back for more. Beat me, Rush. Oh, please, Rush. Oh, my God. And then you get, like, you know, some freak like Joe the Plumber who says, I'm horny. I mean, these are Republicans, right? So Barack is finally starting to understand what he has to do. And he did some of it on 60 Minutes. I'll share it with you. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Yeah, it was Maximilian the First, who was the Emperor of Mexico in 1864. God, I got one right. Anyway, the Obama Cheney riff. Barack hit back on CBS's 60 Minutes on Sunday, and he hit back at one of his, one of the most sorriest sons of bitches ever on the American political scene, a guy who just doesn't understand. Hey, Dick, you've screwed things up so many times over the past 30 years that you have stuck your ugly face into politics. Why don't you shut up and, I don't know, go out somewhere in Wyoming and ride a horse or run off a cliff or something. But he continues to insult and challenge Obama. Now, if you can imagine, George W. Bush being challenged about his policies after Clinton left office. And what the drooling, dribbling Limbots would have done, would have screamed until their faces turned purple about any challenge to the policies of George W. Bush, even though Bush rode into town with his crew, his wrecking crew, to destroy America. But if you remember the pundits, Clinton was to sit back and shut up and keep his wife shut up and don't say a word about George W. Bush. And, of course, Clinton did it. As a matter of fact, Bill Clinton took it one step further and became just, bump-ass buddies with George W. Bush's pappy. So it just became all one big happy family until the point where this crazed Barbara Bush started talking about how Bill Clinton was like one of her sons. Oh, my God, that's when I thought, my gag reflex is just ruined. It's ruined for the rest of my life. I couldn't, as much gagging as I did the 8 years of the Bush regime, but that comment about Clinton and Barbara Bush, that just about ripped it out for me. I mean, whoa, man, that was it. That was it. That was it. But you can imagine Bill Clinton saying anything untoward or challenging or even making an observation about the idiocy of George W. Bush's policies. But Dick Cheney, this rat son of a bitch. A week ago, Cheney was on CNN State of the Union with poor John King. Is there a more useless anchor person on television than John King? What is it King is looking for? Is he waiting for the next Republican administration so he can become the press secretary? Without even getting into that, there was so much that King did in that interview that was just stomach churning. I expected him to, at some point, I wanted Cheney to hand him a handful of tissues and say, here, John, and thank you very much. You know, it was awful. Awful. Cheney said that he believed Obama had damaged national security. That Obama had damaged national security by overturning some of Bush's anti-terrorism policies. Bush never had anti-terrorism policies. Those were pro-terrorism policies. And what makes them pro-terrorism? A, they involve terror against innocent people. In some cases, entire populations of people. In other cases, individuals. B, you want another example of why they're not anti-terrorism? They inspire terrorism. Everything that Bush did while he was in office was a pro-terrorist policy. It set the United States and the people of this country up for violence for probably the next two or three generations if it stops then. Now, what did Obama do, you see, that made Dick Cheney's pacemaker start clicking a little bit faster? Right after he took office, Obama signed an order to close Guantanamo in a year. And maybe some other detention sites abroad. He also declared that waterboarding was torture and weren't going to do it anymore. So Cheney gets on there with the inestimably idiotic John King and tells King that such changes were making the United States more vulnerable to what? To what, Dick, you bastard? The worst attack on American soil occurred on your watch, punk. Cheney said he, referring to Obama, call him Mr. Obama, white man, he is making some choices that, in my mind, what's left of it, will, in fact, raise the risk to the American people of another attack, Cheney said. Now, Obama came right back on 60 Minutes last night with his little segment with Steve Croft. Obama said the facts don't bear him out. Let's assume we didn't change these practices. Are we just going to keep on going until the entire Muslim world and Arab world despises us? Do we think that's really going to make us safer? I don't know a lot of thoughtful thinkers, liberal or conservative, who think that was the right approach. And he said, I fundamentally disagree with Dick Cheney. I think the vice president has been at the head of a movement whose notion is somehow that we can't reconcile our core values, our constitution, our belief that we don't torture with our national security interests. Yeah, well, that's Cheney, all right. We'll be right back.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. So Obama goes on 60 Minutes last night with Steve Kroft and responds to this sick, blood-drenched white man who thinks he Cheney, who thinks he still has permission to open his mouth and say anything about U.S. foreign policy. This is a guy who absolutely destroyed the country, absolutely destroyed the country. And he's going to offer his little jabs, his little snotty, smarmy remarks about Obama's foreign policy, saying that Obama's making some choices that will raise the risk to the American people of another attack. This is exactly what the Bush crime family did for 8 long years. Not only did they raise the risk, but they allowed the first one to come through so that they would have enough panic and fear on the part of the American public to go ahead and continue their program. I just hope that, and this probably won't happen, but I would hope that before I die, I get a chance to see these sons of bitches on trial, or at least history condemn them to the ash heap that they belong on. The entire Bush operation. That's wishful thinking on my part. I understand. Anyway, Obama said that Cheney, he said, I think, Cheney has been at the head of a movement whose notion is somehow that we can't reconcile our core values, our constitution, our belief that we don't torture with our national security interests. I think he's drawing the wrong lesson from history, end quote. And, Obama went on and called, the policies that Cheney seems to get sexually aroused over, that is torture and detention without trial and abrogation of all human rights. Cheney is a ghoul. He really, really, really is a complete ghoul. In a different time, a different place, he would have been like Vlad the Impaler. He would have loved to have just lopped off the heads of the Muslims and stuck them on pikes all up and down the road. He would, to his ranch in Wyoming on both sides of the road, there would be heads just stuck on pikes. One every 25 yards, another head. Here's another one and 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 another one. Obama went in and called these crazed Cheney policies, quote, a great advertisement for anti-American sentiment, which means, Obama said, there's a constant effective recruitment of Arab fighters and Muslim fighters against U.S. interests all around the world, end quote. Right. I mean, think about it, and not you knuckleheaded limbots out there. You couldn't find your ass with both hands, but for people who might be on kind of on the fence on some of these issues because you have been so misled by our media. So step back just a second. Think of a country someplace that was snatching American citizens, snatching Protestant American citizens, snatching fundamentalist Protestant American citizens and putting them in dark, dingy little cells someplace in, I don't know, God, pick a place. Just pick any place, some prison in Madagascar or Thailand. No, that's where ours are. And torturing American citizens. What would you do? What would you do? Well, if you came from an organized society, you would scream for your government to unleash the B1s and turn the country into rubble. If you came from a disorganized society like Afghanistan or Iraq or the occupied territories of Palestine, you would strike out the only way you knew how. And that would be acts of what your oppressor would call terror, acts of terror. So the Cheney policies encourage acts of violence. It almost demands acts of violence. The Cheney policies demand, Republican policies, foreign policy, demands acts of violence against innocent Americans, against innocent people all over the planet. It doesn't matter. Just because of Dick Cheney and George Bush, blow up a hotel, blow up a school, bomb a hospital, set a car bomb off in the middle of a marketplace. Do that to show the Cheney Bush machine that you can still bring blood into the streets. Maybe not as efficiently as they can, but you can still do it. I mean, this is the sickness. This is the craziness that Bush and Cheney have loosed on all of us. It's there now. It's all out there now. Last week, we played for you a seven-minute-long audio segment of what shock and awe, the bombing of Baghdad, for abso-goddamn-lutely no reason, back in 2003, what it sounded like as picked up by microphones that were there recording it. And you and I can sit back here. I can sit in the studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains and listen to that every year. And it hollows out my guts. I mean, it just empties me. I can't believe that I live in a country that did that to a population that could no more defend itself or put up resistance than a bunch of little people in Borneo. I mean, it's just unbelievable that I live in that kind of a society. I mean, I can't, it's hard for me to believe that. And then when I think that the architect of that policy, this filthy son of a bitch, Dick Cheney, this war criminal, this man who, were he in the German high command and survived the final onslaught of American and Russian troops, this bastard would have been brought to trial in Nuremberg and hanged. There is no question that he would have been hanged for what he's done. No question at all that he would have been hanged for war crimes and crimes against humanity. And for this snake to sit down on CNN, why does CNN let this son of a bitch in the front door? To sit there on CNN with the poor, ignorant, dazzled John King and say that Barack Obama's policies are raising the risk to the American people of another attack is an outrage. Turn him loose. You know what I think should happen to Dick? Take Dick Cheney. I've said this before. Just take this son of a bitch. Give him enough batteries, I guess, to keep his pacemaker going for a while. But put him on a helicopter. Dress him up in military fatigues, military clothing. Give him the same kind of equipment that your average 22-year-old soldier may be given as he goes out of patrol in Baghdad. And put Cheney down on the street and walk away from the son of a bitch. And watch him defecate all over inside his new army fatigues because it will scare the you-know-what right out of him. And then just wait and let him stand there. Let him figure out where he is and what to do. Huh? Why not? Why not do that? He's the architect of that policy. That's his. So why not put him? He's the one that says the surge has worked so well. He's the one that says, hey, it's a democracy. Hey, look at all the good we've done. Well, you rat bastard, why don't you go over there, huh? As a matter of fact, take off the fatigues, put your weapon down, and just walk down the street the way John McCain did. Just walk down the street, Dick. Just do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hey, there are British tourists that are going there now. So you can do it, Dick. If Cheney wants to talk like this, if he wants to go on CNN or go on this filthy Fox News and make these kinds of comments, tell you what, Dick, there's a better offer, a standing offer from several Senate and House committees to bring your useless ass in there and put you under oath and then answer some questions. You want to do that? Buddy boy, or do you want to go on John King's little gab fest and sit there and give advice and criticism to an elected president? Are you serious? You got something to say, bald white man? Get in front of a committee. and say it. Go in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Go in front of the House Armed Services Committee. Go in front of any committee in the House or the Senate, you cowardly son of a bitch, and take an oath and sit down and answer the questions. You want to do that? You don't want to do that, Dick? Huh? Dick? Then shut up. Sit down and shut your goddamn mouth.
The Mike Malloy Show, all substance, no abuse.
It's about 10 before the hour. Steve Croft did ask Barack Obama yesterday what the most frustrating part of his job had been so far. And Obama said some of the problems he inherited from the Bush administration. Oh, don't say that, President Obama! That really sets these monsters' teeth on edge. You know what I'm saying? He told Steve Croft, quote, "You are often confronted with bad choices that flow from less than optimal decisions made a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, when you weren't here. A lot of times when things land at my desk, it's a choice between bad and worse." My God, and you know the thing that gets me? I would think that every Limbaugh, every former Republican, which are now Limbaughs, would just slink into a hole someplace and stay there and shut up and let decent Americans try to undo 8 years of destruction that the Republicans have done to us. Look what they've done. But that's not the case. And the reason it's not the case is because Limbaughs are absolutely unconscionable. They have no sense of ethics, no moral sense, nothing. So you get people like John Boehner and Mitch McConnell this guy, the list just goes on and on and on. Eric Cantor and the rest of these people standing up on their hind legs making noises like, I don't know, like what? We're supposed to listen to them? You dumbasses, you're the ones that did this to us. But there they are. There they are. Criticizing their betters. Criticizing, and God knows there's probably plenty to be criticized in Obama policy so far, because the problems, if not insoluble, are just almost intractable. They're just, most of the problems that the Bush crime family left are, we can't even understand them, much less try to solve them. That's how deeply these people hated America. That's how far into the crime zone they were willing to go in order to, are you ready for this, overturn the policies of FDR from 75 years ago. That's how obsessive and sick these sons of bitches have become. And they dare speak out? Dick Cheney dares to show his muzzle on a television program and open his goddamn mouth and say anything except, I'm guilty, take me to the gallows. That's all we want to hear from you, Dick. I'm guilty, take me to the gallows. I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. That's all. Anything else out of Dick Cheney's mouth is superfluous bull snot. I'm guilty. Take me to the gallows. My, and John King. John King. The questions. King asked Cheney whether he, quote, believes the President of the United States has made America less safe by reversing several Bush national security policies, and whether or not he agrees with what John King called the conservative weekly human events that Obama is trying to brazenly deceive the American people. Listen to that garbage coming out of this little pissant John King's mouth. Don't you know what human events is? No, that's not a conservative weekly, you dumbass. That is a right-wing reactionary tract. It has about as much credibility as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, you freak. You ought to know about that, John. My God. Talk about it. Why don't you just, well, like I said, I'm surprised Cheney didn't hand him a handful of Kleenex when the interview was over and thank him. But King asking whether he believes the President of the United States has made America less safe. He asked Cheney that. What were you trying to get, John? What kind of an answer were you looking for, bud? Huh? This is what passes for journalists in the United States. They're not all bad. You know what I'm saying. Certainly what passes for journalism on CNN, huh? Unbelievable. You know, it's rather pointless to sit here and go over after the fact. What the Bush crime family has done. I mean it really is. And the only reason is because there are people walking free out there. You know, Bernie Madoff can't even get bail set so he could flee to Israel. You know, that's all the poor schmuck wants. You know, just set some bail so he can head for Israel. The Israelis would say, look, you got Jonathan Pollard. We're going to keep Bernie over here. You know, he wasn't all bad. But Bernie Madoff can't even be given an opportunity to flee. He's in jail. And what did Bernie Madoff do? He conned a lot of suckers out of $60 billion, $70 billion. And how did he do that? Huh? These were all bright people that Bernie Madoff stuck it in and broke it off at the hilt. How did he do that? Greed? Idiocy? A willingness to say, well, he must be beating the system somehow. I don't know. I don't want to know how he's beating the system, but he must be beating it somehow. I think I'll just continue to give him my money. Okay, so all this pleading from people, 80-90% of them, oh, he took my money. Ah, shut up and you sit down too. You know what you were doing. You know what you're doing. But Bernie Madoff is in jail. Dick Cheney is still slithering around the United States. Welcome back. It is almost 7 past the hour. Mike Malloy here. The reports about what happened in the Israeli invasion of Gaza are rolling across the planet. The most damning ones are being written by people like Amos Harrell, who is a correspondent for the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, also being written by Ethan Bronner, who covers that part of the world for the New York Times, also by Global Research, by Amira Haas, another Haaretz correspondent. Not an anti-Semite in the group. And now, from Haaretz, comes a report of T-shirts that were being, I don't know, it says an investigation by the Haaretz daily newspaper in Israel says the T-shirts are often ordered when troops finish training courses. One example, this T-shirt shows a pregnant Arab woman in the crosshairs of a sniper's sight with the legend, "One shot, two kills." Another shows a child being similarly targeted with the slogan, "The smaller they are, the harder it is." A third T-shirt design shows a dead Palestinian baby and the words, "Better use Durex," which is a condom. The military, the Israel Defense Forces issued a statement saying, quote, "The examples presented by the Haaretz reporter are not in accordance with IDF values and are simply tasteless. This type of humor is unbecoming and should be condemned," end quote. This is humor. This is humor. One shot kills two, a pregnant woman in the crosshairs of a sniper sight. Son of a bitch. Somebody tell me again about the moral authority that resides within the state of Israel and its government. Somebody explain that to me again. Somebody needs to explain to me again that slogan, "Never again." What exactly does that mean? A sociologist, Orna Sasson Levy of Bar Ilan University in Israel, a sociologist, is quoted by Haaretz as saying that the designs on these T-shirts could strengthen, stimulate, and legitimize aggression toward Palestinians in the occupied territories. She, the sociologist, said, quote, "There is increasing callousness. There is a perception that the Palestinian is not a person, a human being entitled to basic rights, and therefore anything may be done to him." The Haaretz investigation also discovered numerous T-shirts depicting violence against Palestinians and appearing to celebrate sexual assault. Other designs appeared to bear witness to officially prohibited practices such as confirming the kill, which means shooting lifeless enemy bodies in the head to ensure that they're dead, or deliberately harming religious sites and non-combatants. Somebody tell me again about how the IDF is the, quote, "most moral army," end quote, on earth. Somebody explain that to me again, or is that inoperative now? The Tel Aviv clothing firm, Adiv, which made the shirts, did not comment on the Haaretz report. Now, today, Israel's chief of staff defended his troops against a rising tide of criticism Lieutenant General Gabi Ashkenazi said in a speech to new recruits, quote, I tell you that this is a moral and ideological army. I have no doubt that exceptional events will be dealt with. We took every measure possible to reduce harm to the innocent in Gaza, which, as we know now, is a God-damned lie. We know that now. We also know, or we're beginning to understand if we pay attention, that the IDF is becoming more and more an organization under the influence and control of the extreme religious right in Israel. Much like the United States Air Force was on the verge, if not already there, of becoming a tool of the extreme religious right Protestants in this country. Amos Harrell, Haaretz correspondent, writes, during Operation Cast Lead, that was the invasion of Gaza, Israeli forces killed Palestinian civilians under permissive rules of engagement and intentionally destroyed their property, say soldiers who fought in the offensive. The soldiers are graduates of the Yitzhak Rabin pre-military preparatory course at Oranim Academic College in Tivan. Some of their statements made on February 13th will appear later in Haaretz. The testimonies from these soldiers include a description by an infantry squad leader of an incident where an IDF sharpshooter mistakenly shot a Palestinian mother and her two children. Quote, there was a house with a family inside. We put them in a room. Later, we left the house and another platoon entered. And a few days after that, there was an order to release the family. They had set up positions upstairs. There was a sniper position on the roof. The platoon commander let the family go and told them to go to the right. One mother and her two children didn't understand and went to the left, but they forgot to tell the sharpshooter on the roof. They had let them go, and it was okay, and he should hold his fire. And he did what he was supposed to, like he was following his orders. The sharpshooter saw a woman and children approaching him. Closer than the lines, he was told no one should pass. He shot them straight away. In any case, what happened is that in the end, he killed them. And it goes on and on and on. It's incredible. Haaretz is publishing. And you can go online, haaretz.com, and read what the IDF soldiers are saying. Read what they are saying. It's incredible. It's incredible. And I would like somebody to again tell me, because I used to be a firm believer that the IDF was in fact a moral army, if that's not a complete contradiction in terms, and I don't think it is. I think it is possible to be a military force and maintain a group morality, one that operates within, God help us, the rules of engagement, immutable rules of engagement, not rules of engagement that change depending on how much terror you want to evoke inside a civilian population. But following the Geneva Conventions, rules laid down at all these goddamn war crimes trials that have just, I don't know, somehow legitimized death and destruction and military operations. Okay. But Israel doesn't fit in there anymore. The IDF doesn't fit in there. And to a large extent, elements in the United States military do not fit in there anymore either. And you know it as well as I know it. International rights groups are accusing the IDF of wanton killing. If you want to read some of this, you can read, you go Ma'ariv or Haaretz, either newspaper, go to their websites, and if you got the stomach for it, read what is being done to the Palestinian people by the IDF.
keep on lighting these fires, these bombs. We don't know what's gone wrong. Forgetting where we've come from and all of this.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. In addition to the horror that has occurred in Gaza, Israel's prime minister designate, this crazy son of a bitch, Benjamin Netanyahu, is back. And he believes that a national emergency, his words, a national emergency, such as Israel's involvement in a major war, would help Netanyahu in his frantic attempts to form a new ruling coalition. Nobody got the appropriate, in the parliamentary system in Israel, got the appropriate number of votes in order to have it be a clear have a clear mandate to set up a new government. Zippy Livni and Netanyahu, who is the leader of Likud, this is the worst of the worst as far as Israel, the Palestinians, and Israel's global image. If they elected Satan, they could not have a worse leader. Netanyahu is horrifying. He is planning to settle for a provisional administration, according to Debka.com. That is the I've quoted that before. It's based in Israel. It is put together by a former Israeli intelligence, I think Mossad agent, and his daughter, who also was Mossad, I believe. You can, a lot of people say Debka, D-E-B-K-A, is run by crazy people. I say in the 10 years I've been following that website, they're more right than they are wrong. Debka is saying that Netanyahu is planning to settle for this provisional administration. And as soon as he has enough votes, he will take over power. And he is saying now that he expects war, a major war in coming months. This is what Netanyahu is saying. This shows you the mindset of Netanyahu. This son of a bitch is just I don't know, mouth breathing for something on the order of what Bush had with Iraq. By the way, their phone lines are open if you want to call in. 877-99-MALLOY or 877-996-2556. And according to Haaretz, ballistic missiles would be Israel's weapon of choice against Iranian nuclear facilities if Israel decides on a preemptive attack and decides that airstrikes are too risky. Now, you know, this was talked about during the last two administrations in Israel. But Netanyahu is enough of a crazy person to actually go ahead and do it. He is actually nuts enough, Netanyahu. You know, this guy would make Meir Kahana look like a liberal, I swear to God. So as we are focused here in the United States about the things we have to be focused on, that pot is boiling and ready to erupt. And again, going to Haaretz, Amira Haas, their correspondent, here's what he reported the other day. IDF soldiers were ordered to shoot at Gaza rescuers. Handwritten in Hebrew on a sheet of paper found in one of the Palestinian homes that the IDF took over during Operation Cast Lead is this. Rules of engagement, open fire, also upon rescue. And a reservist officer in the IDF who did not take part in the Gaza offensive says the note is part of orders a low-level commander wrote before giving his soldiers their daily briefing. Shoot everybody. Shoot everybody was the order. IDF soldiers shot at Palestinian and Red Cross rescue workers, making it impossible to evacuate the wounded and the dead. The bodies of the dead lay outside the homes or on roadside for days, sometimes as long as 2 weeks. Haaretz has reported a number of such cases, some of them as they happened. The documents provides written proof that IDF commanders ordered their troops to shoot at rescuers. It just goes on and on and on. And again, this is not being published in, some anti-Israel publication. This is being published in Ma'ariv and Haaretz, two Israeli newspapers, by Israeli correspondents. And what they're reporting is astounding. It's breathtaking. Somebody tell me again about the moral authority of the state of Israel, okay? I'm waiting to hear about that.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 past or before the hour. Okay, telephones. So the number here again is 877-996-2556 or 877-99-MALLOY. Gary is calling from Long Beach, California, listening to KTLK. Hey, Gary.
Hello?
Yes, Gary. Hi.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Mike, what's wrong with these people, Mike?
Which people?
These so-called Americans that really think the right-wingers that really think they know what they're doing. They're just running this place to the ground. I mean, is there a solution?
I don't know. I guess not, unless people would get educated enough to understand that the Limbaugh Party, which used to be the Republican Party, the Limbaugh Party is full of crazy people that just want to pull the country down and turn our backs on them.
And you know, it's kind of sad because they say they're the so-called Americans. would let America go down like that?
Well,
you know?
My belief is that they hate America, Gary.
I agree.
I've always believed that. Listen, man, you're breaking up on your cell phone. I appreciate you checking in, though. We'll talk again. No, phony patriotism is the perfect refuge for scoundrels, liars, cheats, sneaks, freaks. Because, you know, when they're talking about, you know, waving the flag and God and country, you know, it's difficult to just get in their face, or it used to be anyway, to get in their face and say, you're a lying son of a bitch. You don't believe any of that. You hate this country. You don't believe in, or the kind of God you believe in is a crazed sucker who hurls thunderbolts against people. Get out of my life. Go away. Go away. And by the time people realize how phony and fake, you know, these folks are, you know, by then they're in power, right? Oh, boy. Tim is calling from Los Angeles, also listening on KTLK. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, brother?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Well, good. Sound a little confused there, but that's okay.
You know what this is, and I was thinking about this because I read this also on the IHT International Herald Times.
Herald Tribune. International Herald Tribune.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well. It is run by the New York Times. So you got it right. Yeah.
And I was pondering about this, and then I guess I have had a progressive epiphany. What's happening now is that it's not, how would you say, a poor country like Israel against the terrorist country. It's basically white people against Asians. It's ethnic cleansing. That's what it is. I mean, these people have to realize, not just, people have to realize that this is what Israel is doing.
Well,
again, I'm not blaming all of Israel. No, because I love, there's a lot of great Jewish people out there. But that's what they're doing. Hitler did that during World War II. So is it like Israel's turn now? Go after the minorities?
Well, I have a problem with the racial breakdown in that sad part of the world. And I'll tell you why. A lot of the Jews who become Israelis are Sephardic. And I defy anyone to give me a genetic difference between Sephardic Jews and Palestinians. I don't think
right.
it exists. So I just wonder sometimes. I think it's religious. I don't think there's any doubt it's religious.
Right.
And the state of Israel was founded in the manner it was founded and where it was founded and why it was founded because of the indifference of the world over centuries, over hundreds and hundreds of years, to the slaughter of Jews, culminating with the Holocaust. So, I can understand, and I think anyone who has a sense of history can understand what the foundation of that state was all about. What I can't accept is what has happened. I don't want to make it seem like it was an incremental thing. It was there at the beginning. Israel was founded by terrorists. There is no
right.
denying that. I mean, the Stern Gang, Irgun, David Ben-Gurion, the whole leadership, the first mm-hmm. two or three governments of Israel were by any definition terrorists. They blew buildings up. They killed people. They invented the car bomb. I mean, it was horrifying except for one thing. They were on our side. So we didn't call them terrorists. We called them freedom fighters. So you know how that old story goes. I just wish that there was some morality or ethical conduct anywhere by any country. And I guess it's just not going to happen.
And Mike, do you see like an awakening? Because there's a lot of people who are realizing, I guess out here in LA, but do you see like an awakening in the U.S.? What the evil that Israel is doing on the people?
Well, I don't know if awakening is the right term. And Gary, let me move on. Thanks. I appreciate your call. I think if enough journalists, Israeli journalists, report the atrocities that their government is not just condoning but ordering, in the same manner that if enough Chinese journalists report on the tortures and terrors being condoned or promoted by the Chinese government, and American journalists, the few that are left, like Seymour Hersh, who reports on the atrocities being committed and condoned by this government. If enough journalists, if there are any journalists left, and there are around the world. That's why so many of them were murdered in 2008, blown up, shot, butchered, murdered, killed. Keep the truth quiet. And for someone to think that it's different in Israel is a goddamn fool. Israel is no different from China, which is no different from the United States, which is no different from the UK, which is no different from Russia. I mean, every one of these countries, I don't care what they talk about, it's self-preservation. As long as they use the capitalist system, it's expansion of its need for natural resources, whether it's water in the case of Israel, oil in the case of the United States, food in the case of Russia, fuel in the case of China. I mean, just on and on. You know, anyone can make a very clear argument that nation states are never moral. What is galling are the states that declare their morality, or the states that declare, like Hitler declared, that he was invading Poland because the Polish were about to attack him, or George Bush saying that we're invading Iraq in order to put an end to the kind of murder and mayhem that brought us 9/11, or the Israelis saying they have to go in and slaughter Palestinians because, fill in the blank. That's the part I'm sick of. Back to your calls. Joseph is calling from Bremerton, Washington. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Yeah.
Hey.
I just wanted to comment. You last few days you were playing the 7-minute clip of the bombing of Baghdad.
Yeah.
I was actually a soldier in Baghdad a year after the invasion.
Uh-huh.
And it just, that clip brought back memories of there was a few nights there where they were sending the A-10s in to destroy a whole town.
Uh-huh.
Our military was. And when I asked about it, the reason was there was too many insurgents in the town.
Will you just explain to the audience who doesn't know what type of aircraft an A-10 is?
A-10 is a tank killer airplane.
And
it's designed to kill tanks.
So the missiles that it fires are deep penetrate. I mean, they can go through just damn near anything, right?
Right, and it also has dual chain guns, which really tears up buildings. So.
Mm. Well, how,
I just wanted to put that out there for you.
How long were you there? How many times did you go?
I only went once because I got the heck out as soon as I could afterwards.
Mm. And what kind of after effects are you dealing with, Joseph?
Well, I can't ever get a full night's sleep since I've been out, so I got, I guess, moderate PTSD.
How are you being treated by the VA?
Oh, I can't. I won't even go to the VA. I'm basically working poor right now, putting myself through school, so I just don't want to deal with the military at this point ever again.
Well, I hear that. You feel like mostly okay or mostly not okay?
Oh, no, my daily life is okay. In fact, I've met other vets that have seen worse than me. I'm one of the few that can speak out about what's happened, and they're actually asking me to write my stories, you know, for them and me.
Well, I hope you do that. And if you do that, send some here. I'll read them on the air. Hey, listen, stay in touch, all right, Joseph?
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, man, appreciate it. Take care. We'll be back after the break.
Take me home again. Someday it's going to come. Someday it's going to come. Someday. Someday. Someday it's going to come. Why can't we live in bliss? Peace train sound loud. Glide on the peace train.
someday it's going to come. Come take.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew, Kathy Bay, who engineered and produced. Ben Birch is our technical advisor. Sharon Gordy, military affairs correspondent. Bruce Enberg is Prairie 2. Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf are this program's ethical advisors. All right, back to... your phone calls. Veronica is calling from Little Elm, Texas. Okay, where's Little Elm, Texas?
It's right in Dallas. It's in Dallas area. It's it's a small little town, but it's in the DFW area.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I want to say thanks for being on the air. You guys are really fucking doing to the right-wing wackos, and I really appreciate it. I mean, I support everything you're doing. And I wanted to say one thing about this whole AIG thing, and I thought you might find this interesting.
Uh-huh.
I think that most of their employers are in London, right?
AIG...
So if they're in London, how is the 99% taxation going to work on them? I don't know. The other thing that's pretty bad, but I wanted to offer you a piece of useful information. And it's how I've been losing weight lately.
Okay.
What I do is I close my eyes and I put my fingers in a meditation, position.
Uh-huh.
And then I imagine Rush Limbaugh naked with a drink. And I don't want to eat for a week after that.
That's a weight loss diet, right?
That's a weight loss. Rush Limbaugh. I mean, the Rush Limbaugh closes his drink. Works every time. Trust me.
All right. Well, I do. I believe you. I believe you. Thank you, Veronica. I appreciate the idea, although... I don't know. It's hard for me. You know the image of the pig man that is stuck in my head now is that image that Oberman plays a lot of Limbaugh jumping up and down and waggling his tongue and his eyeballs rolling around in their sockets at that conservative political action convention. I swear to God, I've never seen anything like that in my entire life, with his black jacket and his black shirt and his head slicked back and those porcine eyes, and you just know that he was sniffing around hoping that he found something in heat that he could slobber up against.
You didn't think that was hot? Don't you just know all the ladies want to get with that?
Yeah. Ooh, don't, Kathy.
Sure.
Michael?
Yeah.
Michael, there you
go.
Yeah, you got to turn that way down. There you go. Michael is calling from Louisiana, listening on XM. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. Driving home.
Oh, well, that's a good place to be driving to.
Yep, yep.
Where are you coming from?
Coming from Alexandria, going to Baton Rouge.
Well, that's not too long.
Yeah, ain't that far.
Well, what you got on your mind?
I heard you make a comment earlier about how conservatives are uneducated.
Uh-huh.
Uneducated, mostly poor.
No, I didn't say mostly poor. But they're uneducated and they're delusional.
And they're Yeah,
because, as far as I'm concerned, somebody can have a PhD and be uneducated. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So what I mean by that is that somebody who's uneducated, for example, since I was talking a lot about the Israeli-Palestinian issue... over the course of this program, but I was bringing it up again tonight about the incursion into Gaza. An uneducated person would be someone, for example, who, let's use academic background as a template here, somebody with a master's or a PhD in something like, pick a field, biochemistry. And when I start criticizing Israel's murderous tactics in Gaza, this person might call in and say, well, you know, Mike, you can get all the information about this if you just read the protocols of the Elders of Zion. It's all there. I see right away I know I've got an uneducated person. And it doesn't make any difference what their academic credentials are. You see what I'm saying? You get it. I know you get it, Michael. I can tell you get it. So, someone, regarding neocons or conservatives or limbots, the Republican Party is effectively dead at this point, or in a deep coma. I don't think it's dead yet, and that bothers me. There should be a mercy killing here. I've said before, and I'll say again, the Republican Party should be just executed immediately, as quickly as possible, to stop this filth, this curse that is spreading all over the country. It's in a deep coma now, and the leaders of the Republican Party, the Limbots now, are Rush Limbaugh, Piyush Jindal, Joe the unemployed plumber, and this shrill freak from Alaska. This is your Republican Party leadership. I frankly hope that they just stay very prominent. I really do. But if you watch and or listen to these people, you have a drug addict, an exorcist, somebody who claims to be a plumber and he isn't, and a woman who stands there while turkey after turkey is slaughtered 10 feet from her and grins. This is your Republican Party leadership, all right? So if you don't think the United States of America is in a deep tub of doo-doo, wake up, smell the Republicans, I'm telling you. So that's what I meant, Michael. You know, Republicans or conservatives are breathtakingly stupid. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.